The timeless tale of joy and goodwill, White Christmas, filled with classic Irving Berlin songs, glorious dancing, and lots of snow, is now at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady through Sunday. We have two of the stars on our show this morning. Conrad John Schuck plays General Waverly. He played Daddy Warbucks on Broadway, as well as in Nice Work If You Can Get It with Matthew Broderick. His film work includes MASH, Star Trek IV and Star Trek VI, and Woody Allen's Curse of the Jade Scorpion. On TV, he was Sergeant Enright in McMillan and Wife with Rock Hudson.
Look, miss, I'm a policeman. I'm Detective Sergeant Charles Enright of the San Francisco Police Department.
Are you gonna bust me?
No. I'm going to take you to dinner.
John Schuck starred in one of my favorites, Holmes and Yo-Yo, where he played a robot cop.
Alex, do you realize that this is the first break we've had on this case? There are five dentists in this town who graduated from Ohio State, and those are the five dentists who've already been bombed.
So whatever it was the bomber had against Ohio State, there's no one left to bomb. It's all over.
And he took over for Fred Gwynne to play Herman Munster in The Munsters Today.
Hi, honey! I'm home!
Oh. I love you, Hermie Poo.
And I love you, Lilykins.
Yuck!
Pamela Myers also joins us. She plays Martha Watson in White Christmas. Her Broadway credits include Company, where she was nominated for a Tony.
Another 100 people just got off of the train and came up through the ground while another 100 people just got off of the bus and are looking around at another 100 people who got off of the plane and are looking at us who got off of the train and the plane and the bus maybe yesterday.
She also starred in Into the Woods, had the pleasure of working with Charles Schulz creating the role of Peppermint Patty in Snoopy. Her TV credits include Happy Days, Alice, Major Dad, and she was a star and the announcer for Sha-na-na.
Hey, you breathers. It's the Sha-na-na show. Yeah. Darn, who else?
And you know what? It just doesn't get any better than having these two performers. I'm in my 70s, 80s geekdom today. It is a great pleasure to welcome Conrad John Schuck and Pamela Myers to the roundtable this morning.
Good morning. Hey, Joe.
Thanks for putting that together.
Yes.
It was, oh my God. I've been so looking forward to having the two of you here in the studio. There's so much to talk about. First of all, let's talk about the show because it's beautiful. You know, I saw this in London last year.
You did?
And I loved it. It was just, it's a beautiful show. And so now you're out touring the country and you get to spend the holidays with us here in Schenectady.
We do indeed. And we had a wonderful opening last night with a large and enthusiastic audience.
Yeah.
Made
we'd
us
like
feel
to.
Very, very good.
Now, so you play General Waverly.
Yes. General Waverly is sort of this larger-than-life general who we first meet addressing his troops and being sent home for a war injury. And then we see him again 10 years later, and he owns this inn up in Pine Tree, Vermont. And the story unfolds around his life and his concierge, played by
the
Pam.
Concierge.
Who was
Martha
originally
Watson.
Played in the movie by
Mary Wicks.
Mary Wicks, right.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I love her. Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah.
You know, one of those great character ladies. But she didn't sing in the movie, obviously. So they have made it into a real musical where all the characters sing. Other than
well,
just,
if you have your voice, why wouldn't you get you to sing?
Well,
for goodness sakes.
Well, at least they hired me, yes.
So. Well, she sings great. The general doesn't get to sing, sadly, except with everybody at the very
I know.
End.
He just has gravitas.
Yes.
But you're a musical theater guy. You
oh,
did
yeah.
Daddy Warbucks.
He has a great
You've done
voice.
A lot of great stuff.
Yes, it's just that the particular
role,
part.
Yeah.
And I gather in the creation of the show some 15 years ago, the general did have a song.
I think so.
I think with your character.
Yeah, they've tweaked the show a little bit over the years.
And you just go out and have fun, right? I mean, this is
that's it. We just go out and have fun.
This is a feel-good show, an homage to the MGM musicals of the 40s and 50s. The dancing is extraordinary, and especially the tap parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just infectious. You can't help but feel the spirit of the holiday season when you're sitting
there watching the dancing it. Is really exceptional because we have a 7-minute tap number that opens the second act. I love a piano. That is staggering. It's the biggest hand of the night, always.
Stops the show.
Well, yeah, it's a showstopper.
And then there's just a lot of different kind of dancing, too. So
and it's so colorful and just joyous.
Beautiful costume.
We
really
have snow.
Fun. And we have snow. So if you want a white Christmas, come see it.
Yes.
Maybe the only place you'll get it.
That's it.
Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about individual careers here for a second. How did you get in this business? Now, first of all,
yes,
we mentioned this during the our panel discussion this morning. I said when I was teasing that you were coming on the program and said because we were talking about Donald Trump's use of schlonged and that somehow got me to saying. That John Chuck was the first person in a motion
picture.
Nice
to be associated. Yeah,
to say the F word
that's right.
in a film, which
I've a small claim to fame, but it's
goodness.
Mine.
Did you know? Isn't that great? So
I forgot that,
and that was in MASH,
right.
With Robert Altman.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this as I was driving in this morning because I was thinking about like the notoriety of that. But the cooler thing is that you got to work with Robert Altman.
Yes, that was my. He was. Had come up to San Francisco to take a look at another actor, Michael Learned, who later went on to become Ma Walton. But someone had said she might be right for Lieutenant Dish in the movie MASH.
Yeah.
But out of that, she was not cast, but I was. And
were you in a play with her then?
Yes. I was working
at ACT?
American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, yeah. And we were doing Jules Pfeiffer's Little Murders.
Oh, wow.
Which coincidentally had starred Elliot Gould, who I ended up working with.
Starred in MASH.
In MASH. So that's what changed my life, because I was very happy being a classical repertory actor and thought that's where my career would be. But my original impetus had come from when my folks took me to see Oklahoma. In New York, I was 5 years old, and I'd been singing, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning Around the House and all that.
Oh, gosh.
And I left the theater that night wanting to be an actor. Or maybe I wanted to be a cowboy. But anyhow, I followed.
You can do both.
I followed the acting. And I really never, ever deviated from it.
So you go into, when you start working in television, you have success with Macmillan and Wife.
Yes.
With Rock Hudson and Susan St. James.
Right.
And it's a great part. And it's fun. And then you leave that, and then it's a sort of a series of things, and you become like the king of the pilot, right? You start doing a lot of different shows.
Did a lot of different shows. Probably should have been more careful about what I chose, but I had always operated on the principle that work breeds work, and that and I was conceited enough to think that some of the shows that I accepted the pilots for, I could improve. Upon them.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I could be an alchemist and turn dross into gold.
So let me ask you about Holmes and Yo-Yo for a moment, because I don't know how much you remember of this, but I loved the show as a kid growing up. You
yes.
played a robot cop. Now, this show, I vividly remember this. This show premiered right after the Super Bowl. It got huge ratings on ABC.
The first week.
And then it didn't
quickly
last
fell off.
more than a season. But it's still, you know, I was watching a couple of episodes the other day. To me, it still works. I still find it very funny.
Well, that's interesting. It was an attempt to revive two-man comedy a la Abbott and Costello and things of that nature. And in that sense, it was admirable. But we had a lot of problems. That type of humor, for the most part, had passed us by. And, you know, we were more into the Mary Tyler Moore type of sitcoms or Newhart and that sort of thing. And the other thing is, in the old days in the movies, if you needed a radio to be funny or an inanimate object, they knew how to do all that. Mm-hmm. All those craftspeople were gone. So it was very, very cumbersome, a lot of what we did. But it was fun. And I was partnered with a wonderful actor who sadly is no longer with us by the name of Richard B. Schull, S-H-U-L-L.
Oh, yeah.
And he had one of these Basset Hound faces that was the most wonderful.
Well, he was sort of made for a Damon Runyon type character. Yes. Just great stuff.
But I thought from the beginning that show had a fatal flaw in that my partner, Richard, knew that I was a robot. And I thought that that took away a good portion of the conflict. It was us against the world. But I thought it would have been so much better if he did not know that I was a robot.
Because there was a moment where you would press your nose and then the Polaroid would come out of the pocket and it was all great stuff. That's comedy, ladies and gentlemen. You were also in a show that I remember. You were with Sharon Gless and you were with Turnabout.
Turnabout.
Now, Turnabout is interesting because it's a Freaky Friday kind of thing where you take over each other's bodies.
That's correct.
And it didn't last very long. It only lasted 6 or 7 episodes. But what I found great is your lead-in was the very famous, disastrous comedy, Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry, yes.
Which was McClane Stevenson leaving MASH to be a TV star to star in Hello, Larry.
Yes.
Which gave us an audience of about 3 people.
And you both went up in flames at that point.
Well, the hard part with Turnabout is, they go to, this husband and wife go to bed wishing that they could be in each other's psyches, I guess, and through a confluence of the moon and the stars, a wish is granted, and we wake up. I'm in her body, so I'm now playing the wife, and she's playing the husband. So it's confusing right there. The other thing is, it was very funny when Sharon would, smoke cigars and do all these things, but at that time you could not be effeminate. It wasn't considered funny. It was kind of turn people off. So I constantly had a very difficult time with coming up with behavior.
Did you have to wear dresses or
anything? No.
That was your body, but her
right,
psyche.
But her personality. And I had, as an actor, if I were going to talk on the phone, I'd take off my earring. I came up with things like that. But if you had a scene, which let's say a husband and wife argument, I didn't know how women argued. So I was constantly going to the writers, like, well, tell me,
Let me know this.
I hope there were women writers.
They were. They were women writers.
Stephen Bochco did the pilot on that, right? Wrote the pilot?
I believe he did.
Yeah. So, I mean, it had some pretty good heritage.
He was also story editor on Macmillan and Wife for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's right. So then the other thing that's interesting there is that the show goes away. And at what point do you think – because I remember a story. I was interviewing Bob Newhart. You mentioned Newhart.
Yes.
Years ago. And, of course, he had success in television, 2 very, very successful programs. And then he did a third one, which wasn't that great. And then he did a fourth one with Judd Hirsch called George and Leo.
Yeah.
And he said in the third episode, he and Judd Hirsch were sitting on the set in lobster suits, and they looked at each other and said, what the hell have we done? So, did you hit that point where you said to yourself, you and Sharon Glass were just like, well, how did this happen?
No, but I did reevaluate.
Then he looked at the paycheck.
My place in the business and thinking that that work did not breed work in television, obviously. So I went back to guest starring and everything I could possibly do and did some movies during that point. But throughout my entire career, it's been the theater that saved me in the sense of that's what I enjoyed doing the most. I love language. I like the rehearsal period. I like live audiences. So I returned to that and did as much theater using my television exposure to bring audiences in.
Right.
And that's when I went to Broadway. And
plus, you dance great.
You're very kind. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Myers' nose is growing at an alarming rate.
And Ms. Myers, we'll get to your career in just a moment. I do want to ask you, though, when you had the chance to play Herman Munster on the Munsters Today, that lasted 3-4 seasons, syndicated.
We did almost 100 episodes.
Yeah. And Fred Gwynne was still alive at this point.
Yes.
Was there any, did you have any contact? Was there?
Well, I knew Fred, but no. And you know, it's the last time I will ever take a job for money.
Yeah.
Because I was miserable from day one. The show was really ill-advised, I thought. It took what had been a wonderful piece of television and was on television at the appropriate time, and that cast was superlative. What we were doing was they turned it into a sitcom, and it was in color, and while the characters were the same, the writing was nowhere near the same, and it was an unpleasant experience for me.
Yeah.
And it was physically uncomfortable to put on those shoes and the makeup, and fortunately, we only shot 2 days a week, as opposed to every day the way the original film version was done. But I got a house out of it.
There you go. Well, you know,
that's right.
I mean, but isn't that what we're supposed to do? You know, we do work for checks often, and you go where them you go.
I guess, but I just it was not creative for me.
No,
and I was with it for 3 years, so it occupied a nice chunk of my life. Fortunately, I was falling in love and meeting my wife of 26 years at the time, and that made a little bit bearable.
Good. Yeah.
Well, so let us now switch to Pamela Myers, and who again we're talking about White Christmas, which is at Proctor's Theater through Sunday. You'll not be performing on Christmas Day, but you'll be performing tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we have
a
very
11.
So it's come to the
it's
theater and then
show.
Go shopping.
That's great, and then of course you'll be in on Saturday and Sunday for the remainder for two shows, both those days, I believe. So
yes.
Your original career goal was to do what? Were you always interested in musical comedy?
No. I started out singing in choir at church in high school, but we didn't have musicals at my high school. It was a little high school in Ohio.
Yeah.
I did a lot of choral work. I was an all-Ohio youth choir soloist and stuff like that, and sang. I was the wedding singer in town with my dad. And sang at Kiwanis Club and stuff like that. And then I got a scholarship to Cincinnati Conservatory of Music as a voice major. And they didn't have music theater then. And they started it for me. Honestly, I was like a guinea pig. And they took me out of Italian class and put me in ballet with the ballet majors.
Yeah.
You don't know how funny that was. And then from there, I happened to be giving a senior recital, and a very famous Broadway conductor, Lyman Engel, was at the school giving a seminar. And he saw my recital and recommended me to an agent in New York. So I went to New York, and see, I never did a musical before I was in college. I did summer stock then. I was sent away to summer stock to learn musicals. And that's when I saw, on my way up to New Hampshire to do musicals, I saw Ethel Merman reviving herself in Annie Get Your Gun.
Oh, wow.
At Lincoln Center.
And does that change you when you see something like that?
Oh, yeah. Ethel Merman, I would say so. And then I ended up working with her like 3 times, you know. And believe it or not, she guested it on Sha-na-na. And I did a couple of concerts with her. And yeah, it blew my mind. Seen her. And then I saw the original Mame, too. And that blew my mind, too, with Angela Lansbury and Bea Arthur.
Wow.
So, anyway, long story short, I graduate. I go to New York to become famous. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was green as grass, honestly. And I had an audition for my first Broadway show, which was Company. And I went in and I sang Shy from Once Upon a Mattress, and Little Green Apples, because I didn't have any ballads, really. I didn't know what to sing. So I'm going, God didn't make Little Green Apples. And Stephen Sondheim thought I wrote it. And he and Hal Prince were standing there, and I was told stuff that they said, but anyway, I got a part. They made this part for me to do in Company, and Stephen Sondheim came up to a callback, and he said, I wrote you a song. And honestly, that's how I knew I got it. And I didn't know what I was getting into because Company was a very far out show for the time.
Yes.
It was very avant.
Very progressive.
Well,
it still is a little, you know.
Oh, it has a cult. I mean,
absolutely.
We have people. One of the ushers in Rochester came up to me and said, "Are you Pamela Myers who was in Company?" I mean, he said, "I saw you in the original cast." I mean, of course, the guy's old, obviously, because that was, 45
right.
years ago.
But yeah.
He's my age. And it's been an amazing experience. And anyway, I did other things from there. But Sondheim has been very nice to me over the years. And
when you have, so as I mentioned, you were nominated for Tony for that.
Mm-hmm.
John used the term showstopper in talking about White Christmas. I mean, your song in that was a showstopper. I mean, that was a...
Oh, it was fabulous.
It was. Vividly
remember
it. Honestly, it was a one-of-a-kind song. And I think it kind of still is. And you know, it was cut from the show briefly, Out of Town in Boston. And I remember specifically Sondheim and Jonathan Tunick coming to me that day and saying, "Oh, Tunick said, this is my favorite orchestration." And you know, you listen to it now, and it's still a mind-blowing orchestration.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, can you stay for like 10 more minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Our time is your
because
time.
Because
I'm
enjoying
ourselves.
Myself just far too much. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and then we'll continue. John Schuck and Pamela Myers joining us. They are the stars of White Christmas, Irving Berlin's White Christmas, which is on stage at Proctor's in Schenectady through Sunday. You can find out more information by going to proctors.org. We will continue our conversation after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning with two wonderful, wonderful actors who are here, who are in town performing White Christmas, Irving Berlin's classic. It's a musical. It is at Proctor's in Schenectady. It's running. It started last night. It runs through Sunday. And you have wonderful opportunities to see it. Proctors.org. John Schuck and Pamela Myers are with us, and it's very nice to have you back. Thanks for staying on for a few more minutes.
You bet.
So when last we left, you were doing Company, and Pamela. So then you decided you went out. You did a lot of TV.
I did. Well, the reason I went to Los Angeles is New York hadn't revitalized yet, like the whole 42nd Street
right.
and everything. And a lot of people left town then, excuse me, and moved to L.A. and just tried to break into television. It was early 70s.
Yep.
And, you know, I did theater there. That's where I actually got cast in Snoopy because we did it on the West Coast first. And but I did a little television. I didn't do as much as John, but I did the Shauna Na Show, which was really fun, but we shot the entire season in 6 weeks.
It was kind of a game show in that regard. That, or I guess Hee Haw did that too, where you would just go in, they would like hold you hostage for a long period of time.
We would do a 6 day week. We would rehearse Monday, Wednesday, shoot Monday, Wednesday, Friday, rehearse Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and we did sketches and musical numbers. And, I played the girlfriend of all the 10 guys in the group. I know. Typecasting. Oops.
Why, you hussy, you.
I still play those kind of parts, so it's kind of embarrassing at my age. But it was really fun to do,
and
I learned a lot.
And how did you become the announcer?
I don't know, honey. I just, hey there, all you greasers. I don't know. They didn't even know I sang when they hired me.
Really?
Yeah.
And so that must have been a bonus for them.
Well, it turned out to be. I mean, I did It's My Party, I'll Cry If I Want To, and Hey, Hey, Paula, you know, with right. Hey, Hey, Paula. And here's a little tidbit you might find interesting. The guys who wrote that first pilot were Bruce Valanche and Joel Silver.
Wow.
Who became the producer of all the Die Hard movies.
Right. And Bruce Valanche, of course, is
a huge writer for
legendary,
television.
Yeah.
Wrote all of Bette.
All the Emmys, Oscars,
wrote
everything.
Wrote all of Bette Midler's material with her and everything.
And the Center Square in Hollywood Squares for a number of years.
That's right.
That's right.
So you, and then I want to get back to Snoopy of working with Charles Schulz.
Yeah.
That must have just been a lovely experience.
It was. It, we did it in San Francisco because he lived in Santa Rosa and he wanted to be involved every day. So he would come into the city. We were a little theater there, which was owned by Francis Ford Coppola, by the way. And he had his office in there editing and doing stuff. So it was the Little Fox Theater. And here we were creating our little Snoopy, our little Peanuts characters. And we ran 9 months there. Mm. And working with Schultz was very interesting, very soft-spoken guy. But he wanted certain strips. You know, they would develop those strips and our characters. And then, excuse me, at the end, he gave each one of us a our own strip, which is a really cool thing. It's about 3 feet long.
Yeah.
Peppermint Patty, and he signed him and autographed him to us and everything. And
oh, that's beautiful.
He was very happy with the show. And I don't even know what's happened. It seems to me that...
and this is different than You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Yes, and it has different composers, Larry Grossman and Hal Hackaday. It's a wonderful score, and I had a great song called Poor Sweet Baby, which I would sing to Chuck, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
And I think some legalities must have interfered because it's not... I don't know what happened, why it's not done more. Eventually, they did do it on Broadway, but I was off on another project by then. It was 2 or 3 years later.
Hmm. Have the two of you worked together before?
No, we met last year at this time, for the first time.
When we were learning our steps and our lines in 1 week in New York, I might add.
Yes.
And I assume, like many actors, you find out how your paths have crossed over the years.
Yes.
Yes.
We've really missed each other in terms of where we lived and parts of town, which markets... Plus, through friends and stuff.
Acquaintances. It's true. We have a lot of mutual friends. Quite a few. So, it's great to work together.
Do you both enjoy this stage of your career?
Well, I certainly am.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to work. And so you do it because you want to. And you accept the things that you want to. There's no longer a career pressure.
You don't have that pressure.
Yeah. And so for me, it's wonderful. Like this year, I've managed to work 6 months, and that's perfect.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the time, I go back to my Nashville residence and enjoy the family and the grandkids. And then
phone
rings and we go out again. It's terrific. Best of both.
I have to say, being able to collect Social Security and pension. See, we have actors' pension.
Yeah.
Thank you. Heavens. So we can exist, you know, and doing stuff like this is just so wonderful.
Yes.
The stress level is amazingly different, you know.
The other wonderful thing is that it's kind of embarrassing, but I've been acting now for over 50 years. So so people kind of respect you and in some cases revere you for this ability to have lasted this long.
Yeah.
So I find that I do in Nashville with the talent pool there a lot of mentoring. You know, people come to you for advice I teach classes.
Coach.
And go to Belmont University and do the occasional seminar. But what I'm discovering is that because of technology, there are a lot of filmmakers around. So there are these young filmmakers with their Canon SLRs.
They're ready to go.
Cameras. And because of the digitalization, you make these extraordinary movies with no money whatsoever. And I'm acted in a bunch of these things. It's encouraging a whole new generation and different type of talent. It's very exciting.
Did you see the little movie that was made backstage at our show?
No. How did I miss that?
Oh!
Well, it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
I have to...
It's heaven!
Really? So what is it? Tell me, is it?
Well, we are all lip-syncing to a Kelly Clarkson song. Yes. It's hilarious, actually. And David Perlman, who is in our cast, has film background, and he shot it. It's just hilarious.
And if we put in White Christmas... Kelly Clarkson, would that come up?
Probably White Christmas 2016 tour. And then there'll be a list, a bunch of things.
15 tour.
Yeah, 15. Excuse
me. Or something.
I'm thinking
But
ahead
it's
here.
Really funny. Well, Playbill.
You're ready for next year,
really.
Right? Yeah.
Playbill had it, and a couple other sites had it too, theater sites.
Yeah.
Would either of you do Broadway again? I mean, is that always in the?
Sure.
Yeah. I would never turn it down. I'm telling you, though, this 8-show-a-week grind is woo. But well, as long as you're not touring, you know, your day off touring is when you travel.
Right.
So that's
hard.
Just tough.
Yeah.
And I've ever heard, you know, resident Broadway actors of saying, yeah, maybe if we could lessen that load, that it would it would help the art.
Yeah. Well, it's a 6-day week, you know, and that becomes
a grind.
Yeah.
Well, it can. This show, I think you could live very well with for a long period of time. Annie was certainly that. Had similar features in that it was enthusiastic. It was positive. If you had to tour Death of a Salesman, I think.
That's right.
A week might be long enough.
But and you don't do a lot of that, do you? You tend to go for the more, I don't want to say buoyant, but, you know, a little more happy.
Well, it suits my, that's just the way it's worked out. Though I just recently did a production of 12 Angry Men that in our town of Franklin, was
That's a really
one of the greatest things I've ever been in. And a very difficult show to do. But the communication with the audience was immediate and vital and some of the best work I've done. And I was really had to invest myself in that one.
I'm just listening to the two of you, and you both have the coolest voices in the world. So to hear those two voices on stage
well,
is a really cool thing.
Oh, my gosh.
We are. I just want to remind folks that you can see Conrad Jonchuk and Pamela Myers on stage at Proctor's through Sunday in Irving Berlin's White Christmas. It's a beautiful show. It's a perfect holiday show.
Any age.
Any age.
I really
age.
Mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. And do you get annoyed if the audience sings along? Probably not.
No, we are encouraging.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's great.
Especially at the end when it's.
Because we,
yes.
It's hard not to. Yeah. It really is
of course.
Hard not to. And you can find out more by going to proctors.org, proctors.org. So one of my great Christmas gifts was to have the two of you in and to get to talk to you. I thank you so much for spending extra time with us and have a beautiful run in Schenectady.
What
and
a pleasure, Joe.
Have a lovely. Are you going to stay in town or are you going to scoot back
yes,
somewhere?
Yes, we're in town.
Staying.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're here.
So, well,
yeah.
Merry Christmas to you both and thank you so much for being
you.
With us.
And your
thank
listeners.
You.
Irving Berlin's White Christmas now at Proctors in Schenectady. Proctors.org through Sunday, proctors.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.